How's everybody doing this morning? You're doing well because the sermon hadn't begun yet. So here we go. Are you ready? We're going to be in Exodus 20, 16. We've made it to number 9 of God's top 10. And I've entitled the message, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. Anybody remember that phrase? I remember it as a kid. You guys do? I didn't know if it was still going. Our grandkids were with us this morning, and so I asked them, liar, liar, pants on fire, and I remembered hanging from a telephone wire. Anybody remember that? There's a whole song out there now. Did you know it? I tried to write it down. I didn't get it in time. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire, squirming, squirming, pants are burning. When I lie, my hips start turning, and there was more, but that's all I got. We need to arrange that for choir and orchestra, I think. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. There was a rookie TV reporter. She was very excited. She had her first big assignment. She had covering a political race for governor. I don't know why that would be a big assignment. I would like, it'd be like, lock me away or whatever. But anyway, she was excited. She wanted to learn everything she could before that happened. So she was talking to one of the veteran reporters. How can you tell when a politician is lying? I could answer that. Here's what he said. No problem. Just watch the body language. If he touches his ear or scratches his nose, he's telling the truth. But if he opens his mouth and moves his lips, he's lying. I got some sobering news for you this morning, though. Politicians aren't the only people who lie. Nobody's laughing now, are we? Listen, it's been determined, I don't know who did this study, but that politicians lie on average once every 5 minutes during a debate. Some of y'all believe that, right? So I'm just going to say enjoy the summer and fall. Enjoy it, because here it comes, okay? But what I would say to you this is lying, unfortunately, is a common human behavior, with 60% of people admitting to telling the most common lie. Do you know what the most common lie is? I'm fine. Some of y'all did it this morning. Some of y'all lied this morning. Hey, how you doing? I'm fine, and you really weren't. That's a lie, all right? You getting the idea here? Here's a few more stats for you before we get to the scripture. An average person lies 1 to 2 times a day. By the way, this is current. This is from a 2023 study. It took your pastor a while to find it, but I found it. 1 to 2 times a day. You may be thinking, no, but we're going to expand our horizon today on what lying really is, and you're going to see that, oh, I could see how that would be. 60% of people lie at least once in a 10-minute conversation. My advice to you is keep all your conversations to 9 minutes or less. 40% of people lie on their resumes. Boy, isn't that true? I'm thinking of some collegiate coaches who lost their jobs because they lied about their education. 90% of people lie on their online dating profiles. Sorry to all of you out there that are looking to date. I apologize for that. 80% of women admit to lying to their partner about their spending habits. Wow, it got quiet. 50% of teenagers admit to lying to their parents about their whereabouts. I think that's a little low. 81% of people lie about their height, their weight, or their age online. Don't believe everything that's on the internet. Let's see if you recognize any of these common American fibs. I'm trying to expand your knowledge of lying, and here it is. These are common things we see in America. I'll start my diet tomorrow. If you really don't and don't mean it, guess what? It's a what? Thank you. That sounded like someone young over there, okay? The check is in the mail. Is it? It's a lie. We service what we sell. Jim, I'm glad you're retired. You don't have to worry about that. Your table will be ready in a few minutes. Come on, that is the biggest lie in Albuquerque, is it not? How about this one? Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Someone had to go to the doctor this week. How about this one, parents? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Come on. I learned, don't turn around and say, what are you talking about? Because you just get the spanking worse, okay? So, yeah. And this one I love. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. All right. Listen, here's another problem. We tend to see lies as something that are quite harmless. You know, we've been going through adultery, murder, come on, all these things, right? No, idolatry, all these things. Big ones, right? Well, we tend to think that lying is kind of harmless. In fact, we call them fibs. We call them little white lies. You ever heard that? Do you see how that's minimizing it? But I want to tell you something. We might think they're harmless, but the Bible takes them very seriously. And not just lying, but the Bible takes their first cousins very seriously. And that's gossiping, that's slander, that's the breaking of vows, that's even flattery. Houston, we have a problem. And it's bigger than we think it is. Anybody ever heard of Leonard Keeler? I'm going to be impressed if anyone had. I got you. Yes. Leonard Keeler is the inventor of the lie detector machine. I'm not going to ask if anybody's ever been strapped up to that. But not only was he the inventor of the lie detector machine, but he tested over 25,000 people. And here's a direct quote from this guy. Human beings are basically deceptive. So now that you're depressed, let's turn to Scripture. And let's just read to the end of God's top 10. So let's look at verses 16 and 17 in Exodus. 16 and 17. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female slave, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So don't miss next week as we wrap up God's top 10. But we're focusing today in on verse 16, do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Let's pray. God, speak to us today. God, remove our intelligence and our baggage and our suppositions, presuppositions, and just let us allow your Spirit to speak into our lives today, to guide us, to convict us, to quicken us, whatever he might do. So we thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as I mentioned earlier, we're coming to a rapid conclusion of our study in God's top 10. I did an interesting study recently with help from Kevin DeYoung. Anybody ever go down a rabbit hole? Am I the only one? You just get going. I got going on this. But I think it's worthwhile. I'm going to share it this week instead of next week as we wrap up. But this is a study about the seriousness of all these commandments. What's amazing, now stay with me for a minute, see if you get that. We see a pattern in each of the first 9 books of the Hebrew Bible. I don't know if you know that. There's a couple that's been changed. In the Hebrew Bible, Ruth's a little bit later, okay? It's been changed around. But in the first 9 books of the Hebrew Bible, there's a pattern showing, it's not just God's top 10, but showing specific examples of God's top 10. And amazingly, except for number 8, they're all in order. Genesis 1, Exodus 2, Leviticus 3. It's crazy how it works, and I'm just going to share it with you real quickly. In Genesis, we know the first commandment, don't we? Well, what happened? Adam and Eve put the voice of the serpent ahead of God. They had a God ahead of God, and it's the voice of the serpent. And what was the result? Anybody know? You shall surely die. Exodus, number 2. We remember the golden calf. The golden calf becomes an idol. What's the result? 3,000 men die, and God sends a plague. Are you getting the idea? Number 3, in Leviticus chapter 24, there's a man who blasphemed the name of the Lord. What's the result? His punishment was death. 4, in Numbers chapter 15, a Sabbath breaker is mentioned. The result? Now, this is severe. He gets executed for gathering wood on the Sabbath. Next, Deuteronomy chapter 21. There's an example of a rebellious, gluttonous, drunk son who's dishonoring his parents. The result? The prescription for him? He is to be stoned to death by the men of the city. Then we get to Joshua. This is a famous one. You remember this one? Achan steals. What's the result? He and all his family were killed. Judges, there's these men who abuse and murder a Levite's concubine, not named, but this woman. What's the result? Because of that, war breaks out, war happens within their clan and within the tribe, and there's much death that occurs. Then we get to Samuel, and you'll remember that. David breaks a commandment, right, with Bathsheba. There's adultery. What's the result? Well, we know the results. The death of the son, the baby son comes, the death right there. And then there's bloodshed that comes upon the house of David. And then finally, in Kings chapter 21, we read the story about Ahab. Do you remember King Ahab? And he wants a vineyard, extra credit. Anybody remember that guy's name? Naboth's vineyard. And he has, this is two commandments, and he has two men lie about Naboth. And what's the result? If you'll remember, Naboth is killed on the spot, but later Ahab and Jezebel, they're eventually killed by the Lord. And so we get the lying and the coveting in that one. I just thought that's interesting, and I would say, thanks for indulging me. Thanks for giving me a couple minutes just to go down the rabbit hole and show you. But the reason I do all that, and what was profound to me, especially on today when we're looking at a commandment that people say, oh, it's kind of harmless. Listen, the seriousness in God's word about following his commands, it's extreme. So breaking, I say it this way, breaking of any of God's top 10 is serious. So as we look at lying today, remember something about lying. Will you go all the way back with me? What did the serpent do? The serpent lied to Adam and Eve. Did God not say? He lied to them about what might happen with that forbidden fruit. And as a result, all of us have suffered. All of us have sin nature. All of us are born into the world with a sin problem that only God can remedy. And then we think about Satan for a minute, and we just looked this past Sunday, remember, this past week of the death, the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And let's remember all the different tools that Satan used at that moment. They were lies. They were lies. Satan used lies to bring about the crucifixion of Jesus. So let's jump into point number one, the commandment, and we see it one more time. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is the commandment. Now, let me just tell you up front, this commandment does originate. It originated in the setting of a court. So go with me to a courtroom and picture that, where witnesses are under oath to tell the truth. We still do that today, don't we? Okay, so I want you to see that. Don't miss that. It actually says false testimony there, okay? And rather than providing false testimony, what we need to see from this commandment is that the individual, that would be us, we should give truthful and honest testimony. So as we're thinking about things that are false, let's remember the opposite is things that are truthful, things that are honest. But I want to tell you something. Some people would just stop right there and say, that's it. However, I want to tell you something. This commandment is not limited to just the courtroom. It extends to what we call the courtroom of God. Have you ever heard that phrase before? The courtroom of God is life. It's earth. It's humanity, and it extends all the way into that. I'll just tell you this. We don't have time to look at it, but just in a few chapters in Exodus 23, we see there's more statutes that are given. And the false witness principle is not applied at that point to a courtroom, but it is applied to, quote, any false report. So you can see how lying is included in that. So there's a broad application of this commandment, and it's this: prohibition against untruthfulness of any kind. You might want to jot that down. Prohibition against untruthfulness of any kind. We can confidently say all people will be held accountable for their words. Are you aware of that? That's a sobering thing every time when you stand up and open your mouth for a living, so to speak. That's sobering. We're held accountable for our words, not just our actions, but our words. In fact, one commentator that I really respect calls this the tongue commandment. I like that. So we're looking at the tongue commandment today. Would you agree with me that our tongue can get us into all types of trouble? Don't look at your wife right then. Who did that? Listen to James 3, 8 and 10. You might want to jot it down. You know it. Many of you do. James 3, 8 through 10. No man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. We praise our Lord and Father with it, and we curse men who are made in God's likeness with it. Praising and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers, Christians, these things should not be this way. Let me remind you again that the opposite of a false witness is a truthful, faithful witness. This, in fact, is what Christians are supposed to do. It shouldn't be that tough for us. We shouldn't have to be reminded all the time, but we have to be reminded. As a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, your words and your actions, but here we're talking about your words, should be truthful. And we should be honest with each other. And let me just stop right now and say, as I'm dumping things on you, it comes right back to me. God has revealed to me in the last few weeks what a liar I can be. Some of y'all are looking at me with your spiritual face, and you're thinking, well, I'm not really that. Well, you just lied to yourself. Stop. Yes, it's amazing how easy it is. Maybe not something that would make the news, but these little things, these corners that we cut. And I want to tell you something. There's eternal consequences when it comes to lying. I bet you didn't think I'd use this verse today. Acts 1:8. You remember this? It's one of our great mission verses. It's interesting. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We've already talked about that, haven't we? You better, before you go out and share the gospel, you better be praying. You better be asking God's Spirit to empower you, God's Spirit to guide you in those conversations. But let's look at the rest of the verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And here's what Jesus said, and you will be my, look what word he uses, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of earth. That's Jesus' words. And there it is, witnesses, the idea of, are we going to be truthful and honest in that? So that's a little bit about the commandment, but let's move to point number two, because I want to spend just a little time on this. What's the big deal, God? Well, let me tell you, here it is. God hates lying. Going to give you two O words today, easy to remember, origin, outcome. Let's start with origin. The book of James reminds us that God is absolute truth without any variation. The book of James says there's not even any variation with God. Titus teaches us something amazing. In fact, Billy Graham used that verse to lead a famous person to Christ. And it's this, do you remember in Titus what it says? I love to tell this sometimes to someone who wants to get in an argue with me about God. Oh, you just, all the Bible, and I go, stop. Let me tell you something God can't do. That gets their attention. Do you remember what Titus says? God cannot lie. All right. And the Bible's clear about Satan as well. Jesus says in John 8:44, you are of the father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. And then Jesus describes the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth. Because there, are you ready? There is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of liars. Some translations say the father of all lies. That's Satan. So I think it's very important to see. It should not surprise us how much God hates lying because his origin is truth. In fact, his nature is such that he cannot lie. And yet, sin has entered the world, and Satan has corrupted the world to the point that there is no truth in him, and he's the father, there's not just liars, but he's the father of all liars. Do you see the contrast in origin? And then we move to outcome, and that should be obvious to us. Now, you can read a lot in Proverbs. I just chose from Proverbs 6 today. It's interesting in Proverbs 6, a liar is compared to one who stirs up trouble among the brothers. So let me just stop right there. If you're a rabble rouser in church or in any Christian organization, there you go. Stop it. There you go. But also in Proverbs 6, there's also a list. Do you remember that? Where it says there's six things that God detests or hates. Oh, wait, no, there's seven. Do you remember that passage of scripture in Proverbs 6? Yeah. And two of those seven fit this commandment today. One of them is this, a lying tongue, and the other is a lying witness. Two of the seven made it. Things that God detests, that God hates. Now, of course, we see this in churches all the time. Lying produces a troublesome outcome. But we see it more than just in church. I'm not just speaking about church today. I would pray, and I do pray, and I hope that our church will become more and more of a truthful and honest church and less of being involved in the opposite. Wouldn't you want that? I think so. I think we're doing pretty well. We're working hard at that. At least we have since I've been here. You're to be commended for that. But I also want us to see there's outcome in all relationships, not just the church. You see, lying brings division to families. Some of you have experienced that. Lying brings division to friends. In fact, a study was done and people were asked, what would you say is the number one quality in a good friendship? You know what it is? It's not money. It's not popularity. They said the number one quality was honesty. In a good friendship, it's honesty. Wouldn't you agree with that? Think about your really good friend. Not just honest in the good things, but isn't a good friend one who can be honest with you and say, you've got toilet paper stuck on your shoe and it's behind you as you came out of the bathroom, right? Or here's a breath mint, okay? That's a good friend. They're being honest, all right? I'm being silly, but you get the idea. I want you to think about that for a minute. So God hates it based on origin, the contrast between Creator God and Satan, and outcome. So let's move on to the next point. How do we break this command? I want you to really listen closely. We're talking about more than just lying today. Of course, we begin with that. This is just a partial list, okay? You might could add to it, but this is what I have, and this is what we have time to talk about today. And, of course, we have to start with lying. Okay, that's what we're talking about, right? Yeah. Well, what does lying mean? That's overarching. It means telling any untruth of any kind. And let me just give you a theological truth this morning. Are you ready? Get those pencils and pens ready. To God, lying is lying. You thought you were going to get this big, profound thing. That's profound if you think about it. No matter your circumstance, no matter my circumstance, no matter what someone might say or write in a book or someone might tell me in a school or at work or whatever, be conditional, no. To God, lying is lying, period. Don't tell me about the situation that got you into lying. You see, I've done that before. Anybody ever, tried to, what's the word I'm looking for? Bargain with God or negotiate with God? No. To God, lying is lying. In fact, the word lying in the Hebrew means this. It means that which is false, that which is untrue. It gives the idea of a falsehood, deception, fraud. Do you see how broad that can be? And I would tell you this, it includes blaming and censoring as well. The word includes that. So we're breaking the commandment when we're blaming something for something else that they shouldn't be blamed for, whether we did it or whatever. And same with censoring things that we ought not be censoring. Okay, let's get into some of the other ones. As we think about how we break this commandment. Here's another one, slander. What is slander? I'll give you a definition. Slander is thinking something bad about a person and sharing it. Did you catch that? Thinking something bad about a person and then sharing it. It is misrepresenting something about someone. And it doesn't matter if it's a little white lie By the way, I wrote that in my sermon notes, and I'm getting so frustrated with my Microsoft. It wanted me to change the word because it was not inclusive. Has that ever happened to you on your computer? I'm going to put that word in a few more times somewhere just to make you mad, computer. Oh, that's just what we call it. Little white lies, all right? Sorry. But slander is misrepresenting something about someone, no matter how small it might be. And it might be big because slander is also tearing down or tearing at the reputation and life of a person. Very specifically in this way, spreading bad news about the person. Listen to Psalm 105:1, the first phrase. Listen to what God says. Psalm 105:1, first phrase. I will destroy anyone who secretly slanders his neighbor. Even in secret, we're breaking the command. Let's move on to the next one. This is where it gets quiet. Gossip. Gossip is breaking this command. Come on. I've been in church work for decades. Some churches have the spiritual gift of gossiping. Oh, wait, that's not a spiritual gift, is it? But they really do. I thank the Lord for Hoffmantown on many levels, and at least as far, you know, the pastor's sometimes the last to find out, but as far as I know, this is not a super gossiping church like some churches. Amen? If you're going, well, it's just, if you just knew, go do something about it, please. I don't want to know about it. Stop it, all right? Gossip. What does that mean? It means spreading little or big stories, whether idle or active, whether imagined or real. Another way to say it is spreading the evil news that one has imagined in his mind or something that he may have heard. Give you a couple proverbs. I could give you 100. No, not quite that many. So I just... Exaggeration breaks that commandment. I just broke it because I was exaggerating. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Wow. I'll give you two. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. That's part of Proverbs where it's given, it's the couplet, it's given the negative and then the positive. And here's Proverbs 26:20. Without wood, fire goes out. How many of you went, okay, Solomon, I know you're wise, but that's easy, right? Without wood, fire goes out. But listen to this. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. So gossip is in there. See, you thought you were going to get off the hook on breaking this commandment. Let's move on. Next one, insinuation. What is insinuation? It is stirring up a bad impression about someone or the idea that something might possibly be true. I haven't researched this yet, but it might be. The planting in the mind the possibility of something that could be improper or indecent. And I go back to Exodus. Remember I said there were some statutes right after the Ten Commandments? Here you go. This is Exodus 23:1. You must not spread a false report. Do not join the wicked to be a malicious witness. That gives the idea of insinuation. Well, let's move on. If we haven't got you yet, we move on to deception. Deception is thinking or wanting something to be true, accepting it as true, and sharing it. Let me say that again. Deception, some of y'all just think about this grand pyramid scheme or something. No, it can be much smaller than that. It's thinking or wanting something to be true, accepting it as true, and sharing it. It's tricking people into thinking something is true. Man, did I break this commandment a lot when I was growing up and getting ready to get in trouble from parents or teachers or principals, right? Let me talk you into that this is really not true. It's also accepting bad news as true when the truth is really not known. Listen, Christians are bad at that. I cannot believe what's going on with the eclipse right now. We're having to counter Christians who think this is God's sign, Jesus is coming back. They forgot to read the verses that talk about what? The day and hour is not known, right? Jesus talked about that. As Adrian Rogers said, I want to be on the planning committee, I forgot the quote. It was really a good quote too. But we see this deception. They don't really know, because the Bible says no one knows the exact time when Jesus is coming back, but they are sharing it even though truth is not known. It's also causing oneself and others to believe bad news. Man, there's negative people out there doing that all the time. Proverbs 24:28 says this: don't testify against your neighbor without cause. Don't deceive with your lips. And then we get to exaggeration and or flattery. Well, what is that, Lamar? That is stretching the truth about a person. That is excessively praising someone. You didn't realize that, did you? Flattery comes in this, excessively praising someone, or falsely representing someone, or painting a false picture of a person. You getting the idea? Exaggeration, flattery. Psalm 12:3. This is a rough one. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks boastfully. Pretty serious about it, isn't he? And then we get to 1 Thessalonians 2:4-5. 1 Thessalonians 2:4-5. You may have thought about this. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but rather God, who examines our hearts. You remember that? And this is what Paul writes: for we never used flattering speech, as you know, or had greedy motives. God is our witness. We often think about Paul when he's instructing the churches, or Timothy or someone else, you know, building them up, you know, not greedy, but also not flattering. It's there as well. One more. We have time for one more, and that's neglecting the truth. You see? And here's what I want us to get today. It's not just the action of actually lying, all these things we mentioned, right? We also break this commandment when we neglect the truth. Is that hitting home at all for anybody? It does for me. When we neglect the truth. Ephesians 4 speaks to this. Let me share with you just a couple of verses here. Ephesians 4:25. Since you remember, these folks have been changed, their life had been changed by the gospel, by God. Since you put away lying, here comes the command. And Paul's quoting from the Old Testament here. He says, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor. You might want to jot that down. Speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, her neighbor, our neighbor, because we are members of one another. You see, we can break this commandment with our silence. Listen, when we know the truth is being contradicted, when we know the truth is being twisted, if we don't stand up and speak the truth, and I'm not talking about politics here, I'm talking about what people say about God or these things. Well, how can God do this or that when we know God didn't do this or that? And we don't speak up and speak the truth. We will never win our city unless we have more Christians in a loving way, in a winsome way, that will stand up and speak the truth about God. And you can do it in a nice way. As I yell. let me give you another take on that, sir. Do you see how I did that? And then you share the truth. Well, you know what? That's interesting that you would say that. That has not been my experience. And then you can share. We have got to start doing. How did schools get to be the way they are? It wasn't the kids. Who was it? The adults who didn't stand up and speak the truth. How did the American church get to be the way it is? Adults, not kids, not even teenagers, adults not standing up and speaking the truth and saying, wait a minute, that's not God. You know, God is love, right? But a lot of churches preach love is God. No, It's not the same thing, church. Let me explain that to you. All love is not God. Yes, God is love. See, we got to stand up, speak the truth, each one. Not just seminary professors. Not just preachers. Each one. Each Christian. And to his neighbor, it gives the idea of what? No, you don't have to run for office, although I wish more conservative Christians would run for office. But what do we have to do? In those one-on-one times, in those daily lifetimes, we have to speak the truth, each one with his neighbor. Our silence is breaking the commandment. Listen, we become complicit in this type of slander and gossip about God. I'm right there with you. God recounted many times where I had opportunity, not even in the far past, in the recent past, when I could have stood up and spoke truth to my neighbor, to the person that I was talking with. We can become complicit in this. I just want to challenge you in that, okay? Instead, what should we do? Not that, obviously, we got it. Well, in Ephesians 4, it also says this, in verse 29. Build up with the truth. Build up someone with the truth. You want to build someone up? Empathy is good. Hugging is good. Listening is good. Just being there is good. Those are all good. However, sometimes we miss one of the most powerful ways to build someone up is with truth. Whether it is easy, whether it is convicting, whether it is hard. Last point, we'll be done. I want to remind you that Christians will face falsehoods. If you are trying to be a Christian at all in the marketplace, out in the world, you're going to face falsehoods. As we strive with, of course, God's strength, as we strive to be people of truth, to be keepers of this commandment, we should know something. Because of our Christian life, others who are not believers will lie. Are you with me? And if you're going, well, no one's lying to me, maybe you're not out there on the front lines. Hello? Maybe you're cocooned only with a few Christian friends, never to even go out, man. You just order your groceries and your food and everything right in the house. You never have to deal with the world. We got to deal with the world, don't we? We got to get out there. We do. Listen, if anyone can see our Christian life, people who are not believers, and you've heard me say it many times, quit freaking out about how the world acts. They act like what? Lost people. Quit watching the news so much on TV and getting worked up. Don't send me emails about the news or some news guy. I don't want to hear it. Lost people are just doing and commentating how lost people do. The Christian is the one who should be different. And if we're different, if our Christian life is different, people who are not believers are going to lie about our Bible. Have you seen it? Anybody seen it? They are. I don't know how many times that someone will do that. And we go, well, wait a minute, let's go look at it. Look what this says. Oh. They're going to lie about our Bible. They're going to lie about our faith. They're even going to lie about us, ourselves. Do you remember when we went through the Sermon on the Mount? We got to the end of the Beatitudes. Let me read to you. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed or blessed are you. Hey, great, right? No. When people insult you, when people persecute you, and when people what? Falsely say. Is that lying? Falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus saying, if you get out there and act like a Christian and you're different and you're really trying to make a difference in the world, People are going to say false things about you. All kinds of evil. So let us be a winsome example for our children. Let us be that example for our grandchildren. Let us be that example for our families. Listen, though, I'm jealous of some of you that work out in the world. I got to work with a bunch of Christians, right? We assume they're Christians working at the church, right? You get the idea, don't you? Your co-workers. Be that example, that truthful example with co-workers. Be that example with fellow students. Be that example with neighbors, with friends. How can we be a winsome example? By being truth tellers. Yes, we need to do it in love. Just if you're always the truth hurts type of guy, people not going to want to be your friend after a while. Do it in love. Do it in kindness. But we need to be truth tellers. Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So I'm going to share you some truth as we close. You read your Bible and check it out. God created the world. His original design was perfect without sin. Would you agree with that? Have you read Genesis, the beginning? Unfortunately, what happened? Sin entered the world. Holy God cannot have anything to do with sin. That sin separated us from God. There was no longer that Garden of Eden relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. We don't have that. So we have what's called a sin problem. All of us have that. That's truth. Here's some more truth, that God loved us so much that he had a rescue plan and has a rescue plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, right? That whoever would believe might not perish but have eternal life. God demonstrated his love towards us and that while we were sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's what we do. Here's some more truth. We need to repent, turn from our sin, turn from our way, and just run to God. That's it. God is the one who saves. God is the one who forgives. God is the one who brings spiritual life into our lives. God is the one who brings eternal life, okay? That's all part of the plan. God is the one who draws us. God is the one who gives us faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, so no one should boast. So even the idea of I'm coming to you, God, I'm repenting for my sin, I'm running to you, God is helping us to do that, and God is the one who ultimately saves. Are you good with that? That's helpful. It's not an exact certain prayer that we say. It's a matter of the heart. It's not a certain church or situation we have to be in. God is saving people, I believe, today all over the planet in a lot of different ways. But that's the rescue plan. He provided, and we dealt with this on Easter, he provided the payment for our sin. Amen? Jesus said, "It is finished." Have you dealt with that? Have you dealt with Jesus? Have you dealt with God's rescue plan? Has God been tugging on your heart and you've resisted? Why continue to resist? Why not repent and turn to him and watch him save you? Not just save you from your sin, but become Lord, boss, master, controller of your life. That's truth. That's what's in the Bible. We can always tell that to someone and know that we're telling the truth. And my prayer is that we as a church, as families here, that we would commit to truth telling. Would you pray with me? God, I don't know where it hits us today, whether it's just lying in general, whether it's slander or gossip or insinuation, deception, exaggeration, flattery, even neglecting the truth, not standing for it. God, we all would be reminded, your Spirit would speak into our lives today and tell us that we have broken this commandment. God, I pray that we would confess our sins to you, realizing that you are faithful, that you are true, that you have ability to cleanse us and forgive us from all unrighteousness. And this includes this ninth commandment. This includes false witness and lying. So God, we claim that and know that you are the one we need to turn to with confession, that you can forgive. God, I pray that we would tell the truth. We would stand for truth. So help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.